Blog Talk Radio.
Good Monday, peeps. It's me again. Good old Aaron, a.k.a. Bubba Bro. We are discussing NASCAR tonight. Now, yesterday, I know this show was supposed to happen, and I got to apologize due to the fact Atlanta was expected to have some rain, and honestly, I thought the race was going to be canceled yesterday. But then again, they pushed it early, and then the rain came, and it was raining for about a good hour 20. Then the track dry crew came out, and next thing you know, we had a full race. So I had to cancel that show, move it over to today. Now, don't let the headline fool you, because we will still discuss Atlanta, and we also will be discussing the amazing rank systems that we have going on right now. So I'm going to cover what I just found today was the Johnson not letting early struggles deny desire for success. Now, if you haven't been paying attention, Jimmy Johnson has been having some struggles lately since Daytona. So, I mean, he's not really looking like the seventh time that we all are aware of and stuff like that. So the article basically goes, coming off his heels of a 2017 season that saw him finish 10th in the standings with a career low of 11 top 10s. Could this be Jimmy Johnson's last 3 years in NASCAR? Because, I mean, right there, it sounds like he's kind of peaking out a little bit, in my opinion. But let's continue on. Johnson was determined to grind harder than he has ever had in the offseason. That's literally what NASCAR.com is discussing right now. On this article, it says, after Sunday's 27th place finish, Johnson is 35th in the point standings. Terrible if you are a seven-time champion, in my opinion. If you're 35th, you might as well start crushing out some tracks because you're starting to go lower and lower, it looks like, JJ. So, see, a territory neither he nor his fans are familiar with seeing. However, Johnson isn't known for getting down when the going gets tough. Instead, he is known for doing the exact opposite. So, basically, it discusses how the dude's struggling right now. Jimmy Johnson. So he went to Twitter and made a tweet, and he said, fear, F-E-A-R, has two meanings. And then he tweets, forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. I'm ready to rise. I mean, Jimmy Johnson, let's be real. Chevy yesterday looked horrible. The Fords looked like they were just dominating the Chevys, like there was no tomorrow. The Chevys couldn't catch up. The Chevy drivers were having a hard time even handling these new setups. Now, I don't know what the Ford drivers got going on, but after Daytona and Atlanta, they look like exactly the team, the drivers knew exactly what their setup was going to be, and they just took off with it. I mean, Kevin Harvick, yeah, he destroyed Atlanta, but the biggest story, I think, is how Ford just basically made Chevy look like a huge joke in that race yesterday. So if you want to call in, discuss anything NASCAR-wise or any type of motorsport, I'll allow it on the show, but keep it PG. The phone number is 215-383-5764, and I'll bring you in, and we can discuss whatever you guys want to do. So the show, it says an hour. It might be an hour, but on top of it, you got to realize it was planned for yesterday. So it could be short, could be long. Who knows these days, right? So stuck on the Jimmy Johnson subject, I honestly don't see Jimmy Johnson doing anything this season. I mean, if he hasn't proven anything as of yet, I don't really see him at least winning these next two races. Because let's see, we got Las Vegas this coming up weekend. Next weekend we have Phoenix. And then I want to say they go to California after that one. I want to say, don't quote me. But like I said, I mean, yesterday's display, Jimmy Johnson just did not have what I thought he was going to bring to the table. I mean, his car looked good. His team was struggling, but he was the only one out of the team that looked amazing. But then out of the blue, he just decides that he needs to spin out. And then basically all you know, Jimmy Johnson is wrecking out of the race or having car issues. So, I mean, I wish nothing but good things on drivers because, I mean, that is their job. It is their career field. But as of right now, Jimmy Johnson is not making me a believer because Dale Earnhardt Jr. tweets him back. He's like, one of the many reasons I admire Jimmy Johnson to talk to him today, you'd think he was trying to win his first championship. So, basically, it sounds like Jimmy Johnson's having like a huge midlife crisis right now. He goes on a Twitter, tweets out fear, which I understand you're trying to motivate yourself and your fan base, But then Dale Earnhardt Jr. comes out and states, you know, yeah, we discussed, you know, some things, and he sounds like he's chasing his first championship. I mean, bro, let's be real. You're up there in the age. Let's not try like we're 19 again. Do what Jimmy Johnson does best. Let's get in, get the car set up, and let's go race. Now, I don't know if Jimmy Johnson's peaking, but I think his peak times are over with. I think realistically the times have passed him up. I think with the rookie drivers that we have and the new setup, the new rules, that it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. I mean, some drivers are going to get around it. They're going to go forward. But now I'm starting to see and think that Jimmy Johnson might be the one that's just going backwards a little bit. So, I mean, this season he can win some races. He will win some races. But honestly, I don't see him winning these next three races. I really don't. I don't see Chevy coming back these next two races. I see them doing fine in California. But honestly, the Chevy drivers last night just looked horrendous. Like, the Chevys could not catch up to the Fords if their life depended on it. So, with that said, I mean, you guys can call in. The phone number's right there, 215-383-5764. We can discuss anything. I got the NASCAR standings right now, and it's kind of amazing because number one right now overall is Joey Logano, and we have two races, right? So his top 10 is two and top five is one. That right there, I'm just like, wow. Joey Logano is burning it up right now with the top 10s and top fives. I mean, no stage wins, no playoff points, but as of right now, the top 10s and top fives is what's carrying him into next week. So the order goes Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, Austin Dillon, Martin Truex, Kurt Busch is number eight. That's Kurt Busch. Paul Menard, number nine. Eric Amarillo, number 10. So that's the top 10. And then Kyle Busch, 11. And Brad Keselowski at 12. So only thing helping Kyle is his top five. That's just one. Everyone else below him has 1-1-1 and a couple, then like one playoff point with a stage win. I mean, Kyle Busch is still hanging. Don't count him out. I mean, I don't respect the guy. I don't appreciate him. But he's hanging around. I mean, he might next week, and as well as in Arizona, I could see him moving up to at least number eight or number seven. Things are coming for the good old Kyle. So that's what we're looking at. I mean, Joey Logano kind of surprised me. I didn't really think he was going to be number one going into week three. I thought it was literally going to be, you know, at least a Clint Bowyer or a Martin Truex. But it's good to see a fresh face, something new so far this season. So got to see what that team brings this week. I mean, as of right now, going into the week, I got my top two so far to like and watch is Kevin Harvick and good old Joey Logano. That's my top two. I can see Joey Logano going into, you know, deep this season with carrying at least in the top five. I mean, I don't really see him moving out of the top five anytime soon. And honestly, if he keeps up the way he's doing and his team keeps doing the way they're doing, the manufacturer as well, I can honestly see him winning next week. Like I said, if you're playing fantasy, you got to pay attention to the practices. You got to pay attention to the quals. That's the biggest thing, because a lot of people don't understand. Like, I don't understand how people are so good in fantasy. That's how you got to do. You got to pay attention to the rankings. Just see who's hot, who's not, and read the stat line. And you got to pay attention to the practices. I honestly believe that Joey Logano is going to go into this week looking hot than ever in practice in Las Vegas. Now, Brad Keselowski could pose a threat, but Brad Keselowski, he is an awesome stricter place racer. So when the tracks get kind of shorter and kind of, you know, a little bit windier, that's where Brad kind of has his on and off days. So it all depends on how Brad's looking and feeling when he comes in. So too early to predict or discuss Las Vegas, but I'm really excited due to the fact NASCAR is like the only sport to where 1 week's down and all of a sudden you're begging for the following week. So like I said, that is Danny's talk. We're going to go to break real fast. And when we come back, we'll discuss the latest headlines of Atlanta Motor Speedway. So if you need to call in, 215-383-5764, and I'll get you in.
Inside of me, you say
All right, fam, we are back. So we discovered ranking. We discovered the Jimmy Johnson talk. The latest headlines coming out of Atlanta is just discussing Kevin Harvick's dominant performance with Atlanta Motor Speedway. If you didn't watch the race last night, you missed a renaming of a track. Kevin Harvick drove that track like nobody's business. I mean, a lot of people are hating on it, saying that he's missing a lug nut, and I went digging, trying to find breaking news headline articles, but there was only one on NASCAR. It was like one of those small-time articles that don't really get published a lot, and really just discussed like his winning performance and basically how he's going into next week hot. But towards the end, it said, yes, NASCAR is looking in on his one missing lug nut. So basically they're looking at the designing factory, because you have to look at everything from a perspective. You have to look at how the car is designed, who's working on what type of, you know, it goes all the way down to the bolt of the manufacturing of the car. Let's be real. So honestly, only thing that's going to really come out of it is to find to the pit chief. I mean, because he is responsible for that car. When the car pulls into the pit box, he is the final guy that gives that decision to tell that driver to go. So with that said, I mean, a lot of people are not happy, I understand, but last week people weren't happy because Austin Dillon won. This week people ain't happy because they're saying that the missing bolt or lug nut to Kevin Harvick's car made him faster. Let that sink in. I mean, if you're honestly believing one lug nut is going to make your car faster, I challenge you to the challenge of take a lug nut off your car, one lug nut off your front wheel, and go like 75 to 80 miles an hour down the interstate and just tell me how fast you're able to go, my friend. I mean, yeah, then all of a sudden the reiteration of an argument is, well, faster pit time. Okay, well, did Kevin Harvick come out of his car and inspect his tires? I'm like, okay, we good? No. Kevin Harvick has no control over what goes on when his crew touches that car. Only control he has is data display, telling his crew chief, hey, this is what's going on with the car. This is what I'm feeling. This is what the car's reacting to basically owning up to his actions of the steering wheel. Other than that, the pit chief's the one responsible. And also the gun guy. If the gun guy realizes there is a bolt missing or there is some type of issue with the tire, he has to raise his hand. He has to make it known that, hey, there is a problem with this wheel. So there's two that can be blamed. So if you literally believe that missing one bolt is going to amp up your car speed and make you dominate like that, then there's something wrong. I mean, I'm not bashing you as a fan. I'm just saying, like, at some point you got to sit back and stop hating and realize that Kevin Harvick is just that good at Atlanta Motor Speedway. The dude can drive. I mean, yeah, he's getting up there in age, but the dude is still showing that he can still dominate the performance with everybody else. So, I mean, Kevin Harvick, I see him honestly getting close to most likely being my favorite to win the championship this year. I mean, it could be, but then again, the season is long, so anything can happen. You could be the hot guy, but no matter what, he is locked in the playoff spot, as well as your boy Austin Dillon, right? NASCAR fans. Austin Dillon and Kevin Harvick right now are the top two who are locked into the playoffs no matter what, so we got to deal with it. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of Kyle Busch fans out there. Las Vegas is his racetrack. I mean, Kyle Busch couldn't rebound this week. But in the truck series, it was funny, too, because Kyle Busch ended up losing a tire over the same incident. But the thing is, his pit chief wasn't the one responsible saying to tell the car to go. Instead, he just took off. But that type of action right there, when the wheel falls off, that, in my belief, I think the pit chief gets disqualified for one race. So Kyle Busch owns that truck team, and I don't understand why he would put his own employee in the risk of missing out on a paycheck or a race like that. So, like I said, if you look at the Kevin Harvick incident, it's less severe than what Kyle Busch did in the truck series. So if you have a redundant argument, if you want to discuss anything NASCAR, if you want to discuss anything I've covered so far or anything you want to talk about, you can call in. The phone number is 215-383-5764. I always welcome guests so that we can discuss and chit-chat and carry along. So, I mean, with that said, it's just I don't understand why people hate so much on, you know, Kevin Harvick. The dude's good. He hasn't really stepped out of his lane, hasn't really attacked anybody, hasn't really been the villain like certain people, won't name him on the show, but he is one of the most respectful guys I know in NASCAR. I mean, there's not a moment to where you can sit back at his interviews and not realize, like, hey, this guy is actually a down-to-earth type of dude. He's just a family guy just trying to make a living like you and me. But his living is getting in the car and let's go racing 250 miles an hour. So I'm looking at the website of NASCAR, seeing what else we got out there. Harvick pays tribute to Dale Sr. We all saw that if you watched a race. Oh, yeah, O'Donnell, he talks about pit gun issues. So this week, Cruz and the team owners are going to get together with NASCAR, and they're going to debate and discuss, you know, what can they do to better the guns. If you ask me, I think you should allow them to purchase it and use it. If you can purchase it, use it. Yeah, I understand you're trying to put the race in the guy's hand of the driver, but at the same time, you got to ask yourself, when is too much too much? When are you relying too much on the driver and taking away from the crew? So that would be one thing to look out for as we start heading towards Phoenix, because I really don't think we're going to get a severe deadbeat answer as we go into Las Vegas. But because these discussions, they're going to be one of those discussions that keep going on for weeks, because in Atlanta, the crews were just having issues with the guns. I mean, dudes weren't securing the tires properly too tight, so drivers had to come back in, get a lap down. Dudes were having issues with just securing tires. I mean, so if that's the case that Kevin Harvick lost a lug nut, could it be just due to the fact that his crewman tire changer didn't really properly secure it enough? I mean, who knows? I mean, it could go from not securing it to basically dude saying, yeah, we're good, and then all of a sudden he's like, shit, excuse my language, I forgot the lug nut, but didn't preach up. So this is the same dude who had issues last time in the race. I mean, could we be seeing a different tire changer next week? I don't know. That's something for the team to figure out. But no matter what, Kevin Harvick is still your Atlanta Motor Speedway winner. And he is also heading into the playoffs. So hate him as much as you want, but you got Austin Dillon and good old Kevy up in there. But like I said, Joey Logano in the standings looking nice. Then you got Kyle Busch, rank 11. So like I said, Kyle Busch, I see him being pushed up a couple spots these coming weeks because Kyle Busch, he's due a win. So he's been showing some improvement, unlike other drivers. So these last 2 weeks have been nothing but veterans owning the track. So why not Kyle Busch? Why can't Kyle Busch catch a break? He's finally getting the handle of the car down. So it's going to be, you know, a wild, wild week. He already got pole, so he's proven he can drive. So Las Vegas is a stomping grounds. That is something great to watch out for as you start preparing for these coming up weeks. So I'm going to go to break with a quick song and all that fun stuff. If you want to call in, the phone number is 215-383-5764. Headlines on NASCAR.com except for just talking about Kevin Harvick and his emotional win. Then I already discussed his win. I've already gave my input on the big issue that everyone's freaking out about, the missing lug nut on his tire. I still don't believe that missing a lug nut makes your car faster. I don't believe that Kevin Harvick had any way or say or shape or form of how that tire change conducted. Instead, I can tell you that he did have control over who won that race, and that would be freaky fast, Kevin Harvick. He was freaky fast. So I'm not throwing that out there. I'm a big Bubba Wallace fan. And Bubba Wallace struggled. Excuse me. But Bubba Wallace struggled and wasn't a good day for Bubba Wallace. He went down a couple laps. But the biggest thing he learned was, you know, Atlanta was not a nice, is not a nice track. But thing is, he got education out of it and improvement. So Bubba Wallace, I don't think Las Vegas is going to be nice to him. I mean, I'm his fan. I like the kid. I really don't see him doing big things next week. So, I mean, he could make me eat crow, But like I said, I think next week is going to be another, you know, veteran 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, top 10 setup as we go, you know, into the quals. And we're going to have another veteran top 10 again leaving Las Vegas. So, I mean, I want to see rookies do good. I want to see a rookie win. I want to see a rookie surge and get up there in the standings. But I think that Las Vegas racetrack is going to show its evil face of why people do not succeed so well and why Kyle Busch is really good. We're about to witness, in my opinion, why Kyle Busch owns the Las Vegas Speedway. Not Speedway, but the Las Vegas racetrack. In my opinion, I think Kyle Busch has it in the bag due to the fact, I mean, that's his hometown. That is like where it all started for the good boy, the villain. So, I mean, with that said, I don't really appreciate Kyle Busch. I'm not a fan of him, but I do respect the way he drives and his driving, you know, IQ. So you just got to watch practices. You got to make sure to see how the quals go. You got to just make sure that you stay up to date with what's going on that track. Because a lot of people, when they watch NASCAR, they just jump right into the race. And then they're like, what is going on? Where is who? Why is this dude having issues? Like, if you watch it from the time, first qualification, all the way up to, I don't know, the practice, all the way up to the quals, you get a comprehension of, okay, this is what we're looking at for race week because A, B, and, you know, X, Y, Z, and all that fun stuff. With me, on the other hand, I like to watch all the practices of all the series because, honestly, for me, it kicks off with the truck series, gets me going. Then Saturday, the Xfinity series gets me going some more, gets me into it, gets me intense. And then all of a sudden, Sunday, boom, biggest day of my life, Monster Cup series. So that's how I do it. I mean, because it goes into how that's how you play the fantasy on NASCAR.com. A lot of people are having issues, I know. And there are last week, a gentleman, he asked, who's your guys' favorites for next week? You can't really discuss next week while you're still on the week, if that makes any sense. So with that week already wrapped up, you literally are waiting for practice and what's going on throughout the week. So let's say, for example, just use Kevin Harvick's name out there because he's like all of a sudden the talk of the town. Let's say that Kevin Harvick was suspended and his crew chief was suspended for something small, minor, like, say, a lug nut, which won't happen. If that happens, then that affects that car. So then you know, okay, that's not the favorite. Or let's say, for example, Jimmy Johnson or Kyle Busch or someone gets a flu. And then they say, oh, I'm not going to be able to be in the race next week. Then you already know what your, you know, potential lineups are. And then you have to watch the practices. Because how I do it is I look at the top 10 for practices. And I'm like, okay, I'll pick a lucky number for the week. And that will be my number I select in that practice right there ranked that that's who's going to win the pole. Because NASCAR's bonus points, those are just like basically odds. Like, okay, chance it, you got it. And then the manufacturer, I normally don't go with the manufacturer of who is number one overall at the moment or who is number one overall. When I say at the moment, I'm talking about number one overall as in practices. Because if you do that, you're just going to basically set up for success. Because take, for example, Ford was dominant on Speed Week at Daytona, right? Chevy. Chevy had it already in the bag. Everyone was saying, oh, Chevy got this, Chevy got that. Chevy's going to take it to Ford. And what happened last lap of the race, Austin Dillon takes the win. And then what's happening now? Ford is dominating Chevy. Chevy cannot catch up to the body kit for some weird reason, for the life depending on it, cannot save their lives last week. So if you want to add anything, phone number is 215-383-5764, and I'll get you in. I appreciate guests, and I love them. I love hearing everyone else's opinions on these talking points. We're talking about Kevin Harvick, fantasy NASCAR, and the rank system, and all that fun shindigs, as well as the issues with the pit guns. I mean, pit guns, man, it has leveled out the playing field, has it? It has shown its evil face in Atlanta. I mean, those poor guys, man, those pit crews are trying their hardest to do all they can for their drivers, and it comes down to a flimsy gun at times that does not want to work for them. I mean, hats off to those guys. Those guys are doing everything they can with the limited number of people they have with. I mean, I just respect those guys even more each week. But back to the fantasy talk, though, that's how you play it. You have to literally watch the practices, and you literally have to watch the qualifications to know exactly who's coming in hot and who's not. And if you do it that way, you have a higher chance of actually picking your pecking order to get some decent points or some high-ranking points. Because for me, this week, do not throw a rookie in your garage. If you throw a rookie in your garage, you are asking for heartbreak. Because I do not see a rookie finishing at least in the top five in Las Vegas. Now, last week, everyone had Alex Bowman as their favorite, not to win it, but to be up there. But Alex Bowman, man, he looked like he got a little flushed in Atlanta, almost running over his Jackman. I mean, ugh. Kid's growing up. I mean, he's getting there. I mean, he got his pole position in Daytona, so he got that underneath his wing. He's got Atlanta now completed, so he has that little education under his wing. So, I mean, the rookie drivers, as the season goes on, the biggest thing that this season is going to teach them is how these tracks run. It's different than Xfinity. The cars are faster, more powerful. Steering is impossible sometimes. But each racetrack, these rookies are going to get more knowledge, and that's what's going to make them more dangerous. Hate it or love it, I see a rookie at least winning three races this season. It's not going to be the same rookie. It's going to be a rookie. I don't know who yet because they're all good. I mean, they're all looking bright. But my favorite into the Daytona later this year, night race, is going to be Bubba Wallace. I mean, finished second, yeah. But that Richard Petty, oh my Lord, that team, it looks ridiculous. I mean, that team has more motivation than motivation itself. It's just crazy how Bubba Wallace did really good in Daytona and then he goes to Atlanta and that poor guy just struggled, man. And if you saw the spotter announcer I forgot whose car, but the car blew an engine and Bubba Wallace cannot see. And his spotter's like, hold up, check up. And then boom, Bubba Wallace hit the car and Bubba Wallace like, really? Just threw his hands up. His spotter left him hanging. If I was a spotter, I mean, I'm not a couch chief. Just have your driver go down to the apron and just say, stop. You do that, you already know yellow's out. Just feed up some laps. I mean, because you're already down a lap. Might as well just save the car. So poor Bubba Wallace, man. He cannot. This is the second week that he's walked away from the racetrack with a dinged up car. I mean, the guy's been driving in his car is good, but always happens towards the end of the race that an issue arises with him running into somebody or somebody running into him. So hats off to Bubba, though, keeping us cool, staying positive. I mean, the kid's going to do things. So I'm excited to see how he does in Las Vegas. But like I said, I honestly, my favorite going into this week is going to be Kyle Busch at Las Vegas. So I'm just going to watch the practices before I make my predictions. I got to watch the quals. I mean, before I even have any talking point on who's going to be hot and who's not in Las Vegas. So with that said, I'm going to do a nice little tune for you guys, play some Lee. If you want to call in, discuss anything NASCAR, the phone line is 215-383-5764. Guess what? I'm back. So anyways, there's not a lot to talk about for a Monday after, you know, a race of NASCAR in Atlanta, but I'm just still stuck on the idea that people out there are just fumigated over the Kevin Harvick incident. It's not big news, people. I mean, yeah, it's safety violation. Yeah, it could have been risky if that tire would have came off, but I honestly believe one lug nut does not make a difference in a race car. Like I said earlier, it doesn't make your car fast. It doesn't make your car slow. Only thing it does is put you in a risk of losing that wheel going that fast. I mean, honestly, if I was Kevin Harvick and I found out the news that, hey, you only were missing one lug nut on your tire, I think I would probably look at my team and be like, guys, what are you doing to me? Are you trying to get me murdered? I mean, what is up? Because honestly, I think it's going to take to a point where this happens again. It could end disastrous. Now, I don't believe that one lug nut's going to change the difference in someone's speed, but it does play a huge factor in someone's safety aspect. I mean, when I comment on these statuses of people who are like, nah, man, this is why, I'm not attacking them. I just wish they would look at the bigger picture rather than just he won. He didn't win off of a lug nut. He survived off of a lug nut. Because if that tire would have came off at him taking an embankment, we could be talking about a whole possibly different story right now. We could possibly be talking about Kevin Harvick being out for a season or Kevin Harvick taking out half the pack and someone being severely injured. I mean, yeah, the fine is going to be good if NASCAR hands it out, which they should, to make an example and also to show teams that, hey, even if it's an accident, we will not tolerate these type of actions. It's just something else when you think about it. I mean, people actually believe that the car was ran fast due to the fact of a missing lug nut. No, it's not, people. It was ran fast because Kevin Harvick is actually an amazing fast driver when it comes to Atlanta Speedway. So if you can't catch him, don't bicker. Don't get disgruntled. But all you got to do is just look at the driver and see who's driving. So Atlanta's in the books. So we're past Atlanta now. So let's get rid of Atlanta out of our head, right? Let's get rid of the Kevin Harvick incident. Let's just all complete it. Let's get our last licks in tonight. Let's continue on to get ready for Las Vegas, right? So if you are listening, you want to call in. We've got 56 minutes left in this show. And we can discuss whatever you want about NASCAR talk. This is for you guys. I do it on the week wise. Nah. So, see, the Atlanta curse, because he hasn't won in like so long. I already talked about Jimmy Johnson's struggles. I mean, Jimmy Johnson, poor guy. He's getting old. I think it's time to retire. Honestly, I cannot mind if Jimmy Johnson decided to retire. It'll just free up a spot for the team to hire someone else. But honestly, I think next year Jimmy Johnson should consider, if he doesn't win anything, no race this year or get into the playoffs this year, I think he should honestly start debating if it's time to hang up the boots and decide to go on his way from NASCAR. Because, I mean, at what point do you decide that, hey, man, maybe it might be time I should go and leave the sport behind because I can't really produce anything. Who knows? That's for him to answer. And that's for everyone else to debate and discuss. So it's one of those things where, I mean, Jimmy Johnson's prime passed him up a long time ago, which was last season. So I honestly don't see Jimmy Johnson winning these next three races. You can put my checks and balance in it. You can quote me on it. Bubba Bro has stated that Jimmy Johnson will not win these next three races. All right, excuse me, I got a little cold. So Denny Hamlin's strategy and Logano's strategy last night, they almost beat Kevin Harvick, but they basically be suckered out due to a, you know, yellow flag. Was actually on point. Their pit crew and chief was playing Russian roulette with them tires, having them stay out there an additional 6, 5, 7 laps while Kevin Harvick came in, took tires, and went on his way to race. I mean, that strategy alone, I thought was going to allow Denny Hamlin to win. I was like, oh, wow, this is how you're going to have to beat Kevin Harvick. You just have to outlast him in tires. And towards the end, when it came to it, just Kevin Harvick showed that you can't beat me with pit strategy. You have to beat me with speed. But I got to hit my hands off to that crew, though. That was an amazing attempt. And that was an amazing, you know, strategy that they conducted with. So, I mean, hats off to Denny Hamlin's team. That was an amazing run. It was just not their night, though. Denny Hamlin, though, he's going to get some wins. I see it coming. I think he might actually win Phoenix. But I'm going to focus on Las Vegas because I don't want to be like the other fans where we just focus on 6, 7, 8 different races in 1 week instead of accepting the fact that the week's over. We're past Atlanta. We're moving on to Vegas. So let's all get chipper and happy and let's crack open some booze and let's get ready for Vegas, guys. I mean, that track right there alone is going to be an exciting track. I mean, who doesn't like short, nice little short tracks every now and then, right? My biggest one I'm looking forward to is Bristol. I love me some Bristol racing. Bristol racing, if you haven't really seen it or heard it, it's basically a Coliseum. Short track, everything's on top of it. You basically hear the track. You don't miss a beat. You see the whole entire track no matter where you're at. And that half of the time, that's where the fumes fly, man, because it gets to the point in that season where they get up there, and then it's just dudes are fighting for playoff positions and fighting for standing positions. And one wrong move could either cost a dude his career or cost a dude a friendship. I mean, Bristol has that way of doing it with people. So that's my biggest racetrack I have circled on my calendar is Bristol Motor Speedway. Can't wait. Short track racing at its best right there, especially the night race. Oh, Texas and Bristol, man. You can't, even though Texas is not a short track, Texas, for some reason, underneath the lights, has that demeanor of that mystiqueness, if you ask me. Something different. So I'm going to wrap up this podcast, and my biggest takeaway is this. Don't get too caught up in the Kevin Harvick headlines. Get caught up in what's going to be happening this coming up week as we prepare for Vegas. And if you are preparing yourself for your fantasy lineup, just pay attention to the practices. Pay attention to the calls, my friends, because if you pay attention to that, you are going to be better educated and better informed of what is going on for your picks of the week. So with that said, I appreciate you guys listening to my podcast. I know this one's probably pretty short, but due to the fact it's supposed to be before the race or right after the race, but it got moved over to tonight due to the fact of the rain delay that pushed the race longer. So with that said, have an amazing week, guys, and I will see you next episode.